Here's how I did it. First, I took a giant step backward in order to fully assess and identify my near-term objectives, meaning 1, 2, and 3 year, and long-range objectives, meaning 5 and 10 year. Prior to this, I had only done a cursory assessment, which proved to have one key thing missing, which I think is common to most folks just starting out. That is, if I plan to use OPM, other people's money, then I not only had to take the debt servicing of the mortgage into account, but also the debt servicing for any ancillary funds, such as down payments. For example, if I used OPM for both down payments and mortgages, which meant not tapping into any of my own cash for an acquisition, I had to factor this into the equation for cash flow. I wanted each property to be fully cash positive in every aspect, paying for itself 100%, in addition to providing me with passive income. I didn't want any surprises or missed or hidden expenses after the fact, and the fact was that I embraced using OPM wholeheartedly. The next major realization I had was that my cash flow had to reflect increases in my existing expenses over time. Inflation, more expensive health care. Expenses always rose during a normal retirement process. Retiring from the rat race was no different. I couldn't just evaluate the cash flow of the property. While the real estate may have been able to pay for itself, if it wasn't paying my non-investment expenses as well, then I'd need to keep working. That would mean ending up doing two jobs, either forever or until I figured out the mistake, or I got fed up and pulled out of real estate. I reckoned that if my normal monthly expenses were $5,000, which includes my primary home mortgage, insurance, cable, phone, newspaper, food, dining out, car, etc., then the cash flow from my real estate investments had to reflect this factor. So I put together a model, about 60% of which I developed during the first 3 months that I actively looked at and evaluated property. The remaining 40% was refined when I purchased my first two properties. I found that a lot of people tend to think in terms of traditional real estate expenses, meaning the type of costs incurred as a homeowner. These are very different from expenses associated with investment real estate. Consequently, my model included distribution of expenses based on region for cross-property expenses, such as legal fees and travel costs. It also built in a combination of monthly, annual, and 10-year expenses in order to establish an accurate budget. Expenses included insurance, taxes, home warranty costs, initial make-ready for long-term tenant transition, property management fees, advertisements, yard maintenance, electricity, water, waste removal charges, homeowners association dues, travel expenses to and from the city based on 2 trips per year, and attorney services. Then I factored in 10-year expenses, such as roof replacement, appliance replacement, exterior painting, and other things that tend to happen once in the time frame of owning the property. This also depended on my exit strategy, that is, when I plan to sell. I believe not taking all these expenses into account are the first mistakes that new investors make, and therefore sours them on real estate as an investment. The model I used was deliberately a worst-case scenario, because my assumption was that best cases seldom ever happened, and definitely never in the first year of acquisition. By using a worst-case analysis, my model enabled me to be 99.999% sure that I would get positive cash flow from day one of purchase, even if vacancies were high, the cost of initial acquisition was elevated. For instance, if preliminary make-ready repairs were needed after purchase, and so on. This allowed a good degree of flexibility in factors that were always variable, while still generating positive cash flow. The model also helped to eliminate the emotional investment factor that can come into play, particularly early in the learning process for new investors. I didn't even look at a property until I ran it through the model to first determine if it met my financial objectives. I walked away from many properties because they simply didn't fit into my paradigm. I saw the first 4 properties prior to making an offer. The next 2 properties I did not see in person until after I had a sales contract on them. However, I asked a friend in the area to do a brief drive-by to scout the location and appearance. The most recent property was bought basically sight unseen, based on a drive-by of a friend and a photo from the cellar.